turn to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Book of Mark, chapter 5, passage that we've preached from many times, should be familiar. We'll read verses 21 through verse 42. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, and taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. By way of background, Mark chapter 4 opens with Jesus teaching from a boat by the seaside. He taught the parables of the sower, the candle, the mustard seed. And then evening came, and he and the apostles went to the other side of the sea. While they were crossing over to the other side of the sea, we see that they experienced a storm, which, of course, Jesus calmed by merely speaking. And then they arrived in the country of the Gadarenes, and it was there that Jesus released a demon-possessed man of demons. Following all of this, we read in verse 21 of our text, And when Jesus was passed over again by ship, so now he's gone back to the other side, much people gathered unto him. And out of that multitude of people, there was a ruler of one of the synagogues by the name of Jairus. And he comes and he pleads with Jesus Christ on behalf of his daughter who was sick and dying. We see that in verse 22 and verse 23. In response to this man's plea, Jesus, and begins to make his way to the house of Jairus to heal his daughter. We read in verse 24 that as they're on the way to the house, much people followed him and thronged him or crowded and swarmed him. So we have this mob of people, no doubt in a narrow street, and they are heading to the house of Jairus. The people are following because they want to see a miracle. And again, I'm sure the crowd grew as they made their way to the house of Jairus. We then read in verse 25, and a certain woman. We read some things about her. In verse 25 and 26, we see that she had an issue or a flow of blood, and she had had this for 12 years. We read also that she suffered many things of many physicians, and she had spent everything that she had in hope of finding a cure. But the end result was she was worse than before. We are told in verse 27 that this woman came to Jesus. So the procession to the house of Jairus, and we preached on this before, is now interrupted by this woman. Jairus was desperate for a miracle in his life, and this woman was desperate for a miracle in her life. Again, Matthew and Luke also record this event, the healing of this woman and the raising of the daughter of Jairus. Again, we've preached upon this several times. We've looked at it in Sunday school as well. We want today not so much to look at the condition of these people and the miracle that took place. We want to place the emphasis upon the faith of Jairus and the faith of this certain woman. And we pray that their faith would encourage us to live by faith every single day. And it would cause us to examine our own faith. I want to speak this morning on the power of faith. The power of faith. Both of these individuals had a great need, had a tremendous need. Both were carrying a very heavy burden. We read in Luke 8 and verse 42 concerning Jairus, "For he had one only daughter, and she lay a dying." One daughter, and she lay a dying. We read in verse 23 of our text that she was at the point of death. Keep in mind, though, that this is his one and only daughter. In those words, we see the burden that Jairus was carrying. We also see his burden from the fact that out of that multitude that gathered around Jesus Christ, he came and fell at the feet of Christ, and he began to beg and plead, and it says he did so greatly. That is, he pleaded very much. We don't know how long he pleaded, but he pleaded very much. He pleaded considerably. He pleaded mightily. He pleaded exceedingly. This man had a need. This man had a burden. And he comes to Jesus Christ. We also see concerning this certain woman, her circumstances were that she had this flow of blood. Seems to be a gynecological flow of blood, which again would have made her ceremonially unclean under Levitical law, which means that she was an outcast to her family and to her friends. In verse 29 of our text, we see that what she had is referred to as a plague. There, the very last word of verse 29. A plague is something, a plague is more than a cold, it's more than the flu. A plague is something that torments and ravages the body. We learn from verse 25 that she had been in this condition for 12 years. For 12 years. Notice also verse 26 concerning her condition. She had suffered many things from the doctors. That is, here's a woman who would have been better off, and this isn't anything against doctors, but she would have been better off not going because she suffered many things from the doctors. And it eventually cost her everything she had materially. Like Jairus, her condition is desperate. She is a picture of misery. Now, as far as their place, position, and status in society, Jairus and this woman are worlds apart. He is one of the rulers of the synagogue. She is simply referred to as a certain woman. Her name is not even mentioned. She's insignificant. They're worlds apart in their status and in their position in the world. Yet, they are both living a personal nightmare. They are both experiencing great trials. They are both experiencing upheaval and uncertainty in their lives. They are both heavily burdened. They are both grievously pained within, engulfed with a weight of sorrow. And they both have come to realize that they, in and of themselves, are absolutely helpless. He was a man of rank and prestige, a man of power and a man of influence. And she appears to be insignificant. The lesson is this. Whatever one's position and status in life, there are difficulties and trials that fall upon all. There are burdens and sorrows that fall upon all. And there are needs that fall upon all that are beyond human help and human ability. And both of these individuals were experiencing this in their lives. We also see that both of these individuals had faith in Christ. Faith is personal. Faith is a personal persuasion that God is able. Faith is personal confidence and assurance in God. Faith is to personally depend and rely upon the Lord. Faith is to personally lean and to cleave to God. Faith is to personally look to God. It goes beyond that. Faith is to personally see the Lord. both Jairus and this certain woman, their hardships were real. Their burdens were real. Their sorrows were real. What they were feeling was very real. Their needs were very real. And they both evidenced faith in the person of Jesus Christ. We see the ruler of the synagogue in faith declared, notice verse 23, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands upon her." And then notice what it says. "That she may be healed, and she shall live." He had faith. He had faith that all Christ had to do was touch his daughter, and the sickness would leave her, and as a result, she would live. He believed that there was power in the touch of Jesus Christ. This certain woman, which had an issue of blood, notice what she said in verse 28. She said, "If I may but touch his clothes," and then look at her faith, "I shall be I shall be whole." That's much more than "I shall feel better." "I shall be as good as new." "I shall be whole." She believed that there was miraculous power in personal contact with Jesus Christ. The faith that these two individuals evidenced is the faith that you and I need every single day of our lives. So let's look at their faith. They both possessed a faith that literally drove them to Jesus Christ. It's not our trials that ought to drive us to Jesus Christ. It's faith in the person of Jesus Christ that ought to drive us to Him. The ruler of the synagogue, he believed, he was absolutely persuaded that Christ could heal his daughter. That Christ could save his daughter's life. In other words, he believed and he was absolutely persuaded that Jesus Christ was greater than the sickness that was threatening his daughter's life. He believed that. That Jesus Christ was greater. We need a faith that causes us to believe and be persuaded that Jesus Christ is greater than whatever our circumstances might be. This woman, or this man, Jairus, because he believed that Christ was greater than the sickness that was threatening his daughter's life, believing that faith drove him to the feet of Jesus Christ. It didn't draw him to the doctors. It didn't draw him to the ability of man. Here was a man who was drove. He was driven to Jesus Christ by his faith. Notice verse 22. "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet." And he began to plead. And the reason he fell at his feet was because he believed that Christ could make a difference. He believed that Christ could make his daughter complete, restore her life. Then you have the certain woman, which had an issue of blood. She also believed. She believed that Christ could make her complete. She believed and was persuaded that Jesus Christ could do what 12 years of doctors could not do. She believed that Jesus Christ could do what 12 years of expense could not do. And believing that, she was driven, and she too, to the feet of Jesus Christ. Because we read in Matthew 9 and verse 20 that she came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. She was driven to the feet of Jesus Christ. We read in Luke's account in Luke 8 and verse 44 that she came from behind and touched the border, the bottom of his garment. Faith caused her to realize that Jesus Christ is my only hope. And when you realize that, guess where you're going? You're going to Him. As soon as you realize that this is my only hope, that's where you'll go. And the reason many people never get there is because they haven't come to that yet, that this is my only hope. The reason they go everywhere else is because they're hoping to find hope somewhere. But these two individuals came to the realization, Jesus Christ is my only hope. And that faith drove them to Christ. Their faith, both the ruler of the synagogue and this certain woman, possessed a faith that directed their attention to Jesus Christ. They both had a faith that brought them into the very presence of Jesus Christ. We need a faith. We need a faith that will always direct our attention to Jesus Christ. We need a faith that will bring us into the presence of Jesus Christ. Notice the trials in these individuals' lives did not drive them further from Christ. It drove them closer to Christ because of the faith that they had. They possessed a faith that moved them away from everything else to the very feet of Christ. So I ask you this morning, do you possess a faith that focuses upon Jesus Christ? Do you have a faith that brings you into the presence of Jesus Christ? Jairus did. This certain woman did. Do you have a faith that drives you to the feet of Jesus Christ? This is the kind of faith that we need. A faith that is always looking to Christ. A faith that is always bringing us to Christ. They also possessed a faith that helped them deal with their circumstances. Both the ruler of the synagogue and the certain woman had circumstances, again, that were very hard. Circumstances that were making a great demand upon their lives. Circumstances that were very grievous. Circumstances that were tormenting to them personally. Circumstances that pierced their hearts. Circumstances that just brought exhaustion to their lives. But they both had a faith that sustained them. Faith has the power to sustain. Oh, how we need a faith with sustaining power every single day. They also possessed a faith that caused them to be different from the multitudes that had gathered around Christ. Again, we read in verse 21 that much people gathered unto Jesus. From that multitude, our attention is directed to this man named Jairus, verse 22, And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. He was different. He was different than all of those who had gathered around Christ. Of all that multitude, there were great needs. There were many burdens. But among that multitude, there was only one man who fell at the feet of Christ and begged and pleaded for Christ to come. That shows that he was different than all the rest. What made him different? Was it the fact that his daughter was sick? Is that the only thing that made him different? Oh, I don't think so. Because he could have stayed home and held his daughter's hand and spoke comforting words to her. But that's not what he did. He came because he believed that Jesus Christ was able to make his daughter whole. He was different. He was different than that multitude that was pressing upon Christ. Faith will make you different than all those around you. There's nothing more miserable than an individual who is suffering, surrounding themselves with people who have no faith, looking for encouragement from people who have no faith. Faith will make you different than all the multitudes. On their way to the house of Jairus, we read that there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Notice verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came. She had faith. And she too had a faith that was far different, that made her far different from all those people that were pressing up against Jesus Christ. In fact, her faith made her so different from the crowd that was pressing up against Christ that after she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" Luke chapter 8, verse 45. Who touched me? There were many people touching Christ. Peter, the spokesman, very perplexed by Christ's question, said, "Master, the multitude of people are touching you, and you ask us who touched me?" And then in Luke 8 and verse 46, Jesus said, somebody hath touched me. Somebody has touched me in a way that no one else in this crowd as. She entered into the presence of Christ like no one else in that multitude that was thronging Christ. Her faith made her different than the people of the crowd. So both the ruler of the synagogue and this certain woman, because of faith, they stand in stark contrast to those around them. Oh, for an everyday faith that will cause us, that will put us in sharp contrast to the multitudes. Even to the multitudes of the religious. I believe that most of these that surrounded Christ could have been considered as religious people. They were interested in Jesus Christ. But these two had a faith that made them different from the multitudes. And we need this faith that'll make us different from those who are weighted down with a religion that does not work. There are many people in the world today that are weighted down with a religion that does not work. This faith will place you in sharp contrast to those who have a religion that cannot produce love, that cannot produce joy, and that cannot produce peace. This faith will put you in sharp contrast to those who have a religion that is detached from God. You look at most religions today and they are detached from God. This faith will separate you from that kind of religion. This faith will put you in sharp contrast to those who have a meaningless and ineffective and inconsequential religion. I ask you today, do you possess a faith that distinguishes you from the mere religionist? Do you have that kind of faith? We see also that they possessed a faith that caused them to persevere. The ruler of the synagogue, he believed, he was persuaded that Christ was greater than the sickness that was taking away his daughter's life. And he was persistent. It says that he pleaded greatly. He was persistent in his pleading with Christ. On their way to his house, some people came from the house. And they came with very discouraging news. They said, "Jairus, thy daughter is dead." And then they had some advice for him. "Why troublest the master any further?" Jesus, perhaps seeing the look upon the face of Jairus, immediately said to Jairus, "Be not afraid, only believe." And I believe Jairus continued to believe at that point. In the face of disheartening news, he continued to believe that Christ was not only greater than sickness, but he was greater than death. He continued to believe. We read concerning the certain woman that she made her way through the multitude around Christ. She's reaching forth her hand until finally she touches the hem of his garment. She would not allow that multitude to be a hindrance to her. She is constantly, she is persevering, reaching forth her hand in faith. That is the kind of faith that we need. In spite of the news that we might hear, we need to press on believing. We need to have our hand out, reaching forth in faith. Striving to get into the presence of Jesus Christ. They also both had a faith that caused them to experience the miraculous. Concerning the ruler of the synagogue, his faith enabled him to experience Christ in his home. Notice verse 40. Mark 5. Verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out of the house, he taketh the father Jairus and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. Faith can enable you to experience Christ in your home. A lot of things can happen in the home, but faith will enable you to experience Christ in your home. He and his wife personally witnessed their daughter being raised to life. We see that there in verse 41 and verse 42. Concerning the certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, we read that she touched the hem of his garment. And notice in verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, the flow was stopped. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And then you can read verse 33 and verse 34. The woman, after Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" she came from behind him and came before him, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. What was done in her, she felt cured of the plague. And fell down before him and told him all the truth. Told him her whole story. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Oh, what wonderful stories that faith can tell. Great stories that faith can tell. All the wonderful and glorious feelings she felt in her body. The wonderful feelings that faith can be the result of faith. And then, again, as the news comes, my daughter is dead. Jesus says to Jairus what he says to all of us: believe. Believe. He stresses the importance of faith. He stressed the importance of faith to the certain woman: "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." He stresses the importance of faith with Jairus: "Jairus, in the face of this disheartening news, believe. You just keep believing, Jairus. You believed enough to come to me. Jairus, you believe enough to continue on with me." That's true of all of us that are saved. We believed enough to come to Jesus Christ when he gave us saving faith. Now we need the faith to keep coming. To keep coming. That's the faith that we need every single day. When I was a lost sinner, I had a need to come to Jesus Christ. God granted me saving faith and I came. But that need to come to Christ has not subsided. The reason for coming is different. I no longer come for the saving of my soul. That's been done. But every single day, we have need to come to Jesus Christ. And it is faith that drives us to Christ. It is faith that keeps us coming to Jesus Christ. As you and I live our lives, terrible things are going to happen as far as man's view of things. Very difficult things are going to occur in our lives. And oh, how we need the faith to keep on coming and to keep on following Jesus Christ. Because there is power. There is power in that faith. And you and I will witness the miraculous when we have faith. We will witness the miraculous in our own lives. We will witness the miraculous in our own attitudes, in our own spirits. Faith. We need faith. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you are a guilty sinner before God. God has provided one and only one way to give relief and to declare the guilty sinner no longer guilty. And that is Jesus Christ. His person, His work. And you must believe. And believing, you will come. And you will cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it'll save your soul. You need that faith. And you and I that are saved, we need that faith every single day. A faith that drives us to Christ. There ought to be a magnetic pull toward Christ in our lives. Whatever it is that happens, whether we consider it good, whether we consider it bad, we ought to feel within our heart a magnetic pull toward Christ. That's faith. And when you lose that, my friend, you are in a heap of trouble. You are on the verge of ruining your life. And I'm talking to the saved. When you lose that pull toward Christ. Oh, that God would give us this faith. And that we would manifest it every day in our lives. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.